He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Yeah, and that gets back to your, again, terrible analogy whenever you use like the building blocks that you tried to say. But the point of the analogy is that like the Lakers are incapable of multitasking. They can't just they if they try to multitask, they wind up accomplishing neither task. Right?
Yeah.
And in this case, they're trying to maintain flexibility and they're trying to contend right now. It's a version of what the Golden State Warriors have been doing while they've wasted Steph Curry's prime. Is we're going to do this two timeline thing, and James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody. And
I will say the two timelines are better when one's LeBron and one's Luka, but I take your point.
Well, but that makes it all the more frustrating that they're looking at it as a two timeline kind of a deal, because we know two timelines don't work.
And we also, we know that Luka and LeBron could win on the same timeline. It's not like Luka's some young pup player that like needs to develop still into being like a winner. Like we've seen him lead a team to the finals and the conference finals. Like we
he's
saw him in his rookie
to enter
year
the
take
season
the Clippers to the brink.
He's going to enter the season as like a top three MVP candidate betting wise. Like he's going to enter the season.
My guess is he's going to enter as the favorite. If he plays well in Eurobasket, I think, and you get the Lakers bump, like he's going to enter the season as the favorite for MVP.
Yeah. And they're talking about him as, and by the way, I think it was totally intentional when Clutch said, yeah, you guys are building towards the future, you know, and my theory that is fairly well confirmed is that Clutch was getting, you know, had heard the same whispers out there that Finney was gone, that Dorian Finney-Smith was gone. And LeBron was like, what the fuck? That was one of the five guys that JJ actually trusted in that playoff game.
Yeah.
We're just letting him walk, you know? And I think that kind of, you know, kind of inspired the messaging surrounding that and the fact that the Lakers didn't want to give him another max 1-1.
At least didn't proactively come to him with such an offer, you know, which is probably what they expected. I mean, that's been my read of it. Again, no reporting, but like, it just seems like where things broke down was they were expecting the Lakers to come to his doorstep and furnish him with, hey, LeBron, whatever you want. And they didn't do that. And he's like, wait a second, I don't want to ask for it. You know, you're supposed to just come and offer this to me.
It's been funny to see it's been a version of the Russ thing all over again, where like they're both trying to get their stories out there without just directly saying what happened, where from Clutch's perspective, they're saying, well, they never offered us the contract. And the Lakers are like, well, they never asked for the contract. And normally like superstars, like, I don't have to ask. You just put the contract on the table and I sign it.
And it is like, you know, we know that both of these sides are aware of what the other is doing, because, you know, Rob, I think, has like given a personal comment for almost every single free agent they've signed this summer, and nothing about LeBron opting in.
Yeah. Well, and also LeBron has not texted Ayton or Smart or any of the Lakers.
We know that for sure? Because, I mean, LeBron took a picture with all the guys at the summer league game I was at. So, like, I think they've interacted. But, yeah.
Well, according to conspiracy theorists on there, he was kind of off to the side. There was like a bigger gap between him and the rest
of
the
players. How dare he sit with his family instead of his daughter and his wife instead of...
We're forced to look into how ridiculous all of this stuff is because nobody is saying anything specifically. So we're just kind of stuck. That's the kind of like... We'll pivot to actual expectations for this season, but I kind of wanted to look at it as like, can we define this as successful if it doesn't feel like the Lakers did everything in their power to win themselves, or you know, to give themselves the opportunity right at the beginning of the season to be considered a title favorite while you have Luka and LeBron? Like, you know how little lifting you have to do when your starting point is Luka Doncic and LeBron James? You know, like to be considered a title favorite, to not be considered a title favorite with those two guys as the starting point of your roster is insane to me. It's just crazy. You know, like the Lakers were considered title favorites with Kobe and Powell, you know, going into every season that those guys were on the court together, and rightly so. And that was because that front office surrounded those guys with a good enough supporting cast to confidently say that. The fact that I can't confidently say that about the Lakers with Luka Doncic and LeBron James coming off of the season that he did, it just doesn't set in my mind. It doesn't sit well in my mind.
I agree. I will say that the league is a lot deeper than it was during the Kobe Powell years. And so you need more
by
than
design.
That level of top two, you know, to be able to like the Lakers, they have probably as good or close to as good of a top two as anyone in the league. It's the rest of the roster that, you know, is much weaker than a lot of teams like 3 through 10.
But it's weaker because the Lakers are looking to satisfy both of these timelines.
Yeah.
You know, it's
they're choosing to shop in the clearance aisle and see, like, you know, hey, what's the best product we can get here rather than, you know, dipping into their savings.
Yeah. It's like a guy that I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially coming off of the point that I made about Luka and Smart. Right. And the Kobe comp to Luka reaching out to Smart, who he didn't really have a prior relationship with other than competing on NBA courts.
Apparently, they played against each other when Luka was like 16 or something in Madrid. Like, I think it must have been the Celtics played a preseason game over there or something. I saw Pickup Hoop on Twitter was bringing this up.
That's kind of interesting. But still, like Smart said, at his like intro stuff, that
it'd be very funny if Marcus Smart was like, yeah, this guy was busting my ass at 16 and I knew I had to team up with him one day.
Like one day. No, the funnier one is like I did the whole Boston thing and I knew that I needed to be a Laker. I was on the wrong side of history over there.
He absolutely was. And that is the part of the offseason that I'm honestly most excited about is the Celtics fan. This is also why I want the Lakers to go all in. The Celtics fan crash out if Marcus Smart helps lead the Lakers to a title after they dumped him to get theirs when he was like their most beloved like core player. You know, it would be like if the Lakers like had lost Alex Caruso to the Celtics and then he had helped them tie them in banners, you know, like that's the type of.
Yeah, I need it. I need it in my life.
I know. I need it so bad. I need Marcus Smart talking about like how Lakers fans are better and like Boston fans just like losing their minds online. Like, come on, we got to go all in around Marcus Smart here.
Yeah. So what are fair expectations with the conversation that we just had as the backdrop here? What do you think are like fair expectations of this current roster? And I we can also factor in the assets, because I do think eventually they're going to flip Kleba and eventually they're going to flip Gabe and maybe Dalton and that 31 or 32 first round pick. I do think eventually they're going to improve this roster. I keep coming back to either the Portland guys, once Portland realizes, oh yeah, that's right, it's harder to win in not March when everybody is trying to win. And like I'm
turns
looking
out Dame at, like, doing like the watch signal at people on the bench didn't really like up our October odds, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at like Dallas, right? You know, and the fact that they think D'Angelo Russell is a decent Kyrie Irving stand in. Without Luka also there.
I love Anthony Davis as a GM. It's incredible.
and then I think Phoenix is another team that eventually is going to, you know, strip their roster completely clean to give Booker a more viable chance here moving forward. So I think Dylan Brooks is a name to kind of keep on your guys' radars. And actually the reason I was making the Marcus Smart point was because I think Brooks is somebody who, I think if he was playing against Kobe, Brooks eventually would have been a Laker because of how much he pissed off the Lakers. So I
disagree. I think that Kobe would not have respected like the clown show aspects of it. You know,
that might be true.
Marcus like Smart is a guy he would have liked, but like Dylan Brooks, the like, I'm going to take 20 shots and then talk shit and then avoid the media when I lose. Like, I don't know. Kobe wouldn't. I don't think Kobe would have vibed with that.
Well, there's
all the good players in the league hate Dylan Brooks, you know, like it's
He also called LeBron old, which had he called Kobe old, I don't think Kobe would have liked that. So I think that that might
I don't
be
know if Dylan Brooks would still be alive.
calling Kobe old. But what are fair expectations? Like, would you say like, if they don't do this, this season was a disappointment?
I think as of right now, I'm still concerned. The thing that I keep coming back to is I'm worried about the defense, and Marcus Smart helps that. Jake LaRavia probably helps that, slotting Austin into a more like a better role for himself, as you and Jason talked about, probably helps that. But it's just like with DeAndre Ayton sort of at the centerpiece, and you still are starting like 3 to 4 forward size guys, that defense is not the area that they're known for making their primary impact in. Like, I'm just still a little worried about the regular season defense being at a high enough caliber for them to be like a home court team. And I know that that's going to sound like a hot take when they were just the 3 seed last year, but the separation between 3 and 8 last year was like 2 or 3 games. Like, it was not very much. And the Lakers, like with a couple bad breaks, could have ended up on the bottom side of the playoff bracket in terms of record. And it wouldn't have been that they were a significantly worse team. It would have been that they like lost one or two games in the clutch that they won this year. And so I think with as good as the West is, I'm still concerned about the defense at its current level, and that is the area where, like, I ironically I feel like they could use a Dorian Finney-Smith or like one more guy that you feel like you can capably throw out there and contribute on that end. And so I think they should definitely be a playoff team. They should definitely be looking to avoid the play-in. Like, I think the play-in's a disappointment, like outside of crazy injuries, whatever, and then you just try to figure it out. But like, with reasonable health for a team at this age, I think they need to stay out of the play-in. And I think for right now, like that, and then give yourselves as good of a chance going into the playoffs healthy as you can, because I think right now that is your best sort of most realistic chance, is to play the matchups, get a little bit lucky, and get to the point where your offense is so good that you can overcome some of those defensive shortcomings while also amping up on that end in the postseason.
I love this point here from Tam the Pessimist, which is ironic that it's Tam the Pessimist who's making this point. But agreed, why not double down? When will
that's the, how close they are. We have pessimists making the optimistic point.
Yeah. I'm Harrison, I can't tell you how weird it is for me to talk to Pete and have to sell him on trying this season. Like, it's crazy to me. That, like,
I've always said Pete doesn't care about winning. That's what I've always said. I think he's it's entertainment source Pete, him and his movie friends, they just want to go sit courtside and watch a good product and, gossip.
It's so crazy to me. Like, I feel like I'm in the Upside Down, right? Where I feel like, I'm the one who's saying like, no, I actually think they might be pretty good. They have Luka and LeBron. They can't possibly be that far away. Yeah. And that's essentially the case that's being made here. When will there be another offseason where you get DeAndre Ayton and Marcus Smart caliber players for free? You could essentially improve your team twice. And that's the other part of that's the other part of this, Harrison, too, is that, like, you're not going to have DeAndre Ayton at this number next season. If he's on,
and you're
the
not
going to
have, as you and Jason pointed out, you're not going to have, which is a great point, you're not going to have contract year DeAndre Ayton next year.
Yeah.
Even.
Right, you're not gonna. Well, yeah,
you got to weaponize the contract year, DA, and then not re-sign him. Do not re-sign him.
But like, same for Smart. You're not gonna have Smart at this number next season if you have him on your roster.
In a contract year, looking to prove everyone who has doubted him, which I assume he thinks is like the whole world, wrong.
You're not gonna have Austin at this number next year. He's gonna opt out after this season, and you're gonna have to pay him. You're not going to have Rui at this number. Like, this truly, I'm not kidding. Like, the reason this all came up wasn't just because I was watching my kids play in my backyard and thinking like, man, this could be it. But like, it was because, like, I'm looking at this cap sheet. I'm looking at this roster. I'm looking at the starting point of this roster. And I'm like, this is a pretty damn good opportunity. And we're looking at this and, eventually, if the idea is to strip it down and then rebuild all over again with a 32-year-old Giannis, who can't shoot the way that LeBron can, I don't know how he's going to age. You know, he's
an injury. I think he's going to age okay at 32. I think I don't know that he's playing into his 40s like LeBron, but I think at 32 he's still going to be. I mean, look at how athletic LeBron still is.
Yeah,
you know, well, like Giannis's athleticism totally. Isn't just going to disappear. You know,
no, but like Giannis also can't shoot the way that LeBron does, and I think that makes it difficult to see, like to forecast how he's going to age. Although I do like that he's added a mid-range jumper, like that. I think makes him a lot more dynamic.
The Lakers can empower him by allowing him to sign his own shooting coach that they don't have to pay for, and then that might teach him how to play, to shoot.
All right, so this was a theory, not sourced or anything like that, but this is a theory that was kind of bouncing around in my head. Was like, I wonder if part of why the Lakers, even given this opportunity in front of them, are still looking to the next superstar is next ownership group kind of based in that technically speak. Well, no, I guess they were still minority owners of the Lakers before they bought the majority share. But, you know, if they had maybe heard that they have a chance at superstar X, then all of this kind of falls into place and it all kind of makes sense and stuff. If not, though, and they're just kind of looking at this opportunity, and Rob Pelinka specifically and Jeannie Buss, who, by the way, like the way that I hear about it, she's still maintaining the same level of organizational power even after the sale finally goes through. It's not going to be a figurehead kind of a deal.
That's easy to say for now. I'm if they have any meaningful decisions to make, I'm curious if that is the case.
Well, it's easy to say now.
Like she has she's the same power to what? Like to sign off on buying low on Marcus Smart? It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, I can't imagine the new owners were like opposed to that, you know?
Well, I what I do think is a more interesting conversation is like what kind of power she has over the direction of this stuff, right? Like is this Giannis Jokic plan a product of Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss leadership? And what if Guggenheim disagrees with that plan? You know, what if Guggenheim is like, hey, you guys are pretty good. Could you give this a go?
Yeah, the last thing I'll say, because I do have a heart out here, is that I think, like, to me, I almost wonder if the star thing again is the, you know, to shout out to your commenter, keep his job, Rob, of, you know, that's the keys that you're jingling in front of the new ownership of, like, you can't judge me by what I do right now. Like, I'm setting up to you gotta get all your dominoes in a row to go and get Giannis. And so and then if we miss out on him, well, okay, we couldn't plan for that, but now we got to plan for the next star, you know, and we're still maintaining flexibility forever. I think, and you know, also I just wanted to say to RoboCop, if you are still here, I'm going to be thinking about, did Rob leak that Luca recruited Smart in case it doesn't work out for like probably the rest of the offseason? So I want to truly thank you for that. Incredible Lakers Lounge theory for me and Anthony specifically. And I could tell that you are a real listener of the show.
Yeah, like you get the show. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
this one's for RoboCop.
You do have to run. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Nope. Just, you know, just we're still going to be plugging away at SB Nation. So check out, you know, the things are winding down. But if you need a place to come and talk. So as a Lakers fan, Silver Screen to Roll is going to have some tools for you upcoming that I can, I think, tease a little bit. And so, yeah, check that out.
All right. So Harrison is going to jump off. I see a couple questions here. And if you guys have any super comments, I will go ahead and answer those. Harrison, thanks for hopping on. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See ya.
All right. So, all right. I got this in my mentions. I got this question in my mentions, and I guess I never answered my expectations for this season. Technically speaking, I'm not sure Harrison did either. My expectations for this season, not just given this roster, but also given their assets and stuff like that. My expectations for this season is when at least one playoff series, and probably two is what I would go into the season kind of expecting. You have Luka Doncic in a season where he's probably going to be the betting favorite to win MVP. You have LeBron James in a season where he has heard all the one thing that I'm really curious about is what LeBron's response to kind of league-wide, not ambivalence, but or apathy, but just kind of like there was certainly, I believe, interest in LeBron if you know, he was bought out. Duh, everybody would have been interested in him. But the fact that no teams seemed all that interested in moving the heaven and earth to trade for LeBron, I kind of wonder what his response to that is going to be. You know, I'm really curious what the what it's going to look like when he plays Cleveland, knowing that they didn't really move all that quickly when it came time to lining up assets or lining up a situation to trade for LeBron. The fact that the Knicks were kind of like, yeah, I guess we could trade for him if you want to trade for Cat. And I'm really curious how he's going to handle that, you know, playing against that team. Dallas, right, leaked specifically that they're only interested in LeBron so long as he is a buyout candidate. And I really kind of wonder, like, are we going to get an FU LeBron season two while we also get the Luka FU I'm in shape season as well? And if you get two superstars, like super duper stars, playing at that level where they have it personally against, you know, the rest of the league, the way that the league kind of responded to their various situations, I want to know what that looks like. I want to know what that team looks like. And I want to know what that team looks like while it goes into the extent that a team should go in on those two superstars playing at that potential level. And look, that's another if, right? And, you know, if Luka's in shape, if LeBron doesn't decline further, if this, if that, if all that stuff. And the point of off seasons are to kind of check off as many ifs as you possibly can. And some teams did so this summer to a greater extent than the Lakers did. And, you know, given the opportunity that the Lakers have in front of them, that kind of disappointed me. So, something to kind of have you guys thinking about here moving forward. But my expectation is win one playoff series and probably two, that hopefully over the course of the season, this roster at some point looks good enough that you could you go into the postseason saying they're a favorite in their first round against their first round opponent. They're probably slight favorites in their second round opponent. And then we see how things go in the conference finals and obviously the finals. So, yeah, that's where we stand there. All right, so let's really quickly answer trying to win asked this on Twitter. Jaden Ivey trade, question mark? So, I'm Ron Burgundy. Under their previous leadership, I was hoping that the Lakers, not the Lakers' previous leadership, but Detroit's previous leadership, because they kind of cleaned house. I was hoping that, you know, because Monty Williams didn't really seem all that interested in playing Jaden Ivey, I really believed all along in the talent. So I was like, go get him. Whatever you need to trade, go get him. If they don't believe in him, go buy low on this guy who we know is going to be really good. And, obviously, it didn't play out that way, and I think now his price is such that the Lakers would have to give up more than they're comfortable giving up going into the season to go get him. So I like the talent. He's an archetype of player who plays with force, a real athlete, and a young athlete at that, that I would be really kind of curious in. But as it stands right now, I don't really see it happening. I forgot about a meeting that I had at 1 o'clock. So Bill, sorry, I'm running late. So I'm going to go ahead and, answer one more question. Maybe, yeah. All right. I think that's all the questions we got. So shouts to Harrison, for coming on the show. Shouts to my kids for coming on the show and being patient the way that they were. Shouts to you guys for tuning into the show. Please hit that like and subscribe button while you guys are here. Or if you're on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show. And then until tomorrow or until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you when I talk to you. Have a good one, everybody.